Barnes. It's December 4th, 2007. And I'm interviewing John Brown here in Brownsburg, Virginia, for the Brownsburg Museum Oral History Collection. John is a lifelong resident of the Brownsburg area, and we'll be talking with him today about his impressions and his life in this area. Margaret Brown is also with us today, the sister of John Brown, and we're also going to be interviewing her. John and Margaret, how long have you all lived in the Brownsburg area?
83 years.
So you have been a lifelong resident the Brownsburg area.
Yeah.
Were you born in Brownsburg?
No.
And where were you born?
Born in King George's Hospital.
Stanton. In Stanton? Well, where did your family live before they moved to Brownsburg? You've always lived here, but where did your family come from?
Augusta County.
Where?
Augusta County,
just north of us here.
My mother came from Callaway.
And your mother was from Callaway?
Yeah.
She came over to teach.
And was a teacher, and you said she taught in Brownsburg about 7 years?
Yes.
And what were who were your parents? What were their names?
Herbert Brown.
Herbert?
Herbert.
Herbert Brown and...
And Ida.
Uh-huh. And Ida Brown, yeah. All right. How many generations of your family lived in this area? I guess you just answered that. You were the first real generation, I guess, that lived here because your parents moved here from somewhere else.
Yeah.
Grandfather.
Your grandfather lived here. I think you mentioned that to me.
My grandfather came here and married a Cornelius Wilson, and they moved into the Wilson house, which is over the Sunset Farms, which has been torn down now.
And what was your grandfather's name?
George Alexander Brown.
George Alexander Brown. Well, what is your first memory of Brownsburg, either one of you, in that you grew up here? What was your first memory of Brownsburg?
Going to school here.
And you started to school in the first grade, I guess, up at the Brownsburg School?
No. I started school in Fairfield.
Oh, in Fairfield before you came to Brownsburg.
My mother taught school here, and she wanted us to come to school here with her.
Oh, I see. So when your mother started teaching in Brownsburg, you all transferred to Brownsburg from Fairfield.
That's right.
I see. That's good. But do you have any other relatives in the Brownsburg area, living in the Brownsburg area now?
No.
All right. And you just mentioned that you did attend both Fairfield schools as well as the Brownsburg school. And after completing school, you've spent all your adult life here in Northern Rock Ridge County then, in the Brownsburg area.
The Fairfield school was back at the old post office in Fairfield. Mm-hmm. Two-room school.
A two-room school in Fairfield.
And then we went up to the B school, got on the bus up there. But we didn't go to the B school. I went over to some business. I had a little business school over there. I went to Fairfield School then, after I graduated, Brownsburg.
So you did do kind of some postgraduate, after you graduated as a senior, you did some business school.
Yes,
schooling.
A little business school there.
I went to Dunsmore.
And you went to Dunsmore, and after you graduated? Absolutely.
I
stayed
4 years and couldn't go with it. Went to Dunsmore.
After you got well, you went to Dunsmore. Well, that's good. Well, you have farmed, I guess, you all have farmed over on McClure and most of your life then?
I farmed up till 71 and then I drove the school bus.
I remember you driving the school bus and, but you primarily, were you in the sheep business and that sort of thing?
Sheep and cattle.
Sheep and cattle. And you've always lived over on McClure on that farm?
We lived where they bought the place from McClure.
I see. So it has a long historical background, doesn't it, to say the least. You all have always been members of New Providence Church?
Yes.
Do you remember what year you all joined that church? I'm taxing your... I'm glad you're not asking me that question. You know approximately how long you've been a member of that church, New Providence Church?
Probably joined it in the 30s.
1930s? And... And you, of course, you've been going there ever since.
Yes.
Describe what it was like to live in the Brownsburg area as you were growing up. Now, you mentioned you'd gone to school here. What did you do to entertain yourselves, or you and your friends?
Well, we sometimes come here and join up and then go to a movie.
Movies were big then.
Bunch of the boys.
Yeah. Who were some of your closest friends here, John, in Brownsburg, or the Brownsburg area?
Ed Patterson.
Ed Patterson.
Max Sterrett.
Max Sterrett.
Yeah.
Didn't Benny Farber kind of run around in that group too?
Well, they came down sometimes.
But all those are very prominent names in this area. Do you all remember any of your teachers that were at the Brownsburg School, particularly other than your mother, a principal?
Miss Trimmer.
Oh, Miss Trimmer. I've heard about Miss Trimmer.
Miss Trimmer.
I understand she really ran that with an iron fist.
Yeah, she ran it like a military school.
That's what I understand. Everybody's mentioned Miss Trimmer in these oral history interviews. Miss John Patterson.
Yeah.
And what about a Mrs. Williams? Do you remember a Mrs. Williams that talked?
Miss Amo.
Miss who?
Amo.
Amo.
Uh-huh. And,
Pauline Wade was a teacher up there. Well, and you all lived in the Brownsburg area during the Depression then. And but the fact that you lived on a farm, did that help with making it through the Depression?
Oh yeah, you eat chickens for Sunday, and you had a good garden. We killed three hogs.
So you didn't have to like a lot of people that
had eggs, plenty of eggs.
Depended on when they lived in the city.
Yeah.
People that were farmers and lived on the land did pretty well.
We ate well.
And they were raising their own meat and vegetables and fared pretty well. In other words, there was plenty on the table.
Kill a beef.
Well, what changes have you seen in the Brownsburg area that? During your lifetime, that have really changed the area?
Yeah, all the businesses here have closed. They're not here anymore.
You're talking about the general stores that were so prevalent in this area during that time.
Mm-hmm.
What about in more recent years? What changes have you seen come about?
Well, there haven't been very many changes. Still the same old town.
Well, what about the area in which you live? I drove through that area.
Oh, yeah, my area changed. We got about 30 new houses right now.
That was just what I was going to mention. I hadn't been through McClure in a pretty good while, and I just couldn't believe all the new houses that were being...
We have a development called Sunset Farm that has 20 houses in it.
Now, was that part of your property?
No, I sold it.
That's across the road from where you live. Yeah. Then, that as I remember seeing that sign.
You went back there about a mile back in there.
Mm-hmm. But that has, I think, been probably one of the biggest changes brought about.
Yeah.
So many people have moved to this area and built new houses, and some people that lived here have, for a long time, have built themselves new houses. John, I'm going to ask you and Margaret, what were your responsibilities at home on the farm during the time that you were growing up?
Well, we had 18 milk cows, and as soon as I got home, my mother was coming with those buckets. And I hate to see her coming with those buckets, but my job was going after those cows.
So you had the responsibility of milking the cows once you got home from school.
Yeah.
And, you didn't like to see your mother coming with the buckets because you knew what that was going
to be. I had to walk out in the fields and get the cows.
Round them up, bring them in, I guess.
And, yeah.
And milk them.
We sold milk and cream.
And that was another way to make income on the farm.
Yeah, yeah.
And anything else that you had as far as responsibility? Of course, 18 milk cows was a pretty big responsibility. I can't imagine
One responsibility was honing that garden.
Oh. Taking care of the garden, and I will have to mention here that John has been known far and wide for his great gardens. And I'll tell you what, some of the best tomatoes I ever ate came out of John Brown's garden. And the best peaches I ever ate came from John Brown's peach trees out on his farm. And John, would you like to share with us how you used to distribute those? You remember how you brought those to me the first time and where you brought them to me?
I think I brought them to church, but they'll miss you, and I brought them to your house.
Well, you brought, well, there was several times that I would get out of church out in New Providence, and I would go to my car out in the parking area there, and I would find a sack of prettiest peaches you ever saw, or a big sack of tomatoes, and John had left those on the front seat of my car. And I wasn't the only one. I mean, John had... you told me, John, one time how many rows of tomatoes you planted one time, and he had bushels and bushels and bushels of...
We planted 17 rows.
17 rows of tomatoes, and he had enough for everybody in Northern Rockridge County. And, but I think you also brought me some corn, some good corn one time.
Yeah.
That, but the point is, John was very much known for his great gardens, and of course, the responsibility he learned early on how to do that on the farm, mm-hmm. and hoeing the gardens, and I guess learning from his parents and others how to plant and take care of a garden.
Nowadays we have mechanical tillers to work a garden.
Made it a little bit easier than hoes and shovels and things like that back in earlier times, that's for sure. Would you all like to share with us any humorous stories or anything like that that you were aware of? John, you mentioned one time about the time that you were going to have to haul some manure. Can you tell us that story? That and the car?
Remember running off? Well, my dad bought a manure spreader. And it had a horse with a new horse a little bit wild. I took a wild horse and a tame horse, and Mr. Trickler came down the road through Brownsburg with a Model T. He backfired that thing and scared that wild horse. It took off. Even the doctor's wife got in the car and see if I'd turn it over.
But so the horse got scared by the Model T car and took off down the road and
took off
with manure spreader and all.
Yeah. Near as family whipped around that curve down there.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to turn over, but it didn't.
And you finally retrieved it, I guess.
Yeah, Mr. Runkle ran the horse up in the fence, and Mr. Runkle crisscrossed the lines, and then you could pull back on it,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And got him under control.
Yeah.
You were also telling a story about John Layton Weitzel's grocery store up there. Was this after you drove the school bus, or... school bus drivers would end up at John Weitzel's grocery store?
Yeah, some of the farmers and the school bus drivers would loaf there, and they'd eat cheese and then crackers and talk about people and the gospel, but they had a good time. I wasn't in on that.
But once they got their school bus driving and whatever their chores were for that day, they'd end up at John Weitzel's grocery store and eat his cheese and his crackers
and forget to pay for it.
So what did he do?
He quit having cheese.
Well, I don't blame him, but that's a great story. John, I know that you all lived here during the Second World War. What do you remember from that particular era?
We had gas rationing.
Gas rationing.
3 gallons for pleasure and 5 gallons for business. You did a lot of drifting in those days. You kicked
it. Mean drifting? Mean you put the clutch in and...
Kick the gear shift out of gear and do some drifting.
And to save that gasoline. So you got 3 gallons for...
pleasure.
For pleasure.
5 for business.
And 5 for business.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
And but about everything else you raised on the farm. We talking here about when electricity first came to the Brownsburg area, and John and Margaret have a story they want to mention here about that and what happened at their home.
Well, we turned all the switches on, the lights, and then when they turned the main current on, all our lights came on at one time.
And this was what year, John?
Somewhere around 45, wasn't it? I think.
About 1945?
We graduated in 42.
Huh?
We graduated in 42.
Yeah. The lights on then?
Yeah.
So it would have been probably the early 40s then when you all got electricity out your way.
Must have been about 39.
39 or 40. And so everybody was excited, and when the light switch was thrown, the main one, then you all had lights in every room in the house.
We got lights so late in the life at Mr. Charlie Dice down here. He wouldn't let them put a pole on his property, and they had to bypass them, go way around, and a long time before we were able to get electricity, but we finally got it.
So Mr. Dice didn't want the electric pole on his property because he didn't want electricity?
But he had electricity himself.
Oh. So you all had to work around that.
Yeah.
He just didn't want to cooperate then, I guess.
No, it wasn't. But he had electricity, but we didn't let us have any.
John, do you remember some of the specific businesses that are particular businesses that were here in Brownsburg during the time that you were going up here?
It had five stores.
Five general stores?
And a harness making place, and a shoe repair shop, and a blacksmith shop, and a whole lot more I can't even think of. But
so if,
I think it was a saddle shop.
Somebody mentioned a Wilburn saddle that was made here.
Yeah.
So it was a thriving community, and whatever you needed, you could find in Brownsburg then,
yes.
For the most part.